Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
It is always a pleasure to introduce our next guest. Please welcome to the program, what is this, 914th trip into the studio.
You got more trips here than you got wins? Come on. That ain't true.
Keith Tozer.
No, that's not true.
Morning, Keith.
Great morning.
You look very healthy. You look tanned. Thanks. And you're not and you're one of those guys who always looks kind of pale because you got that light. You're kind of pale.
You kind of started out good in that. You're looking good.
You look relaxed.
You look normally dead, but you look good.
You're fair skinned, is what I'm saying. But you look like you've been out in the sun. What have you been up to?
Still been traveling a lot.
Okay.
So, but I'm back in town this week. Been golfing, like you said, a couple times.
Okay.
So,
how's your game?
It's okay.
Okay. All right.
It's funny how men who don't play golf a lot think that when they get out there, that they should be like 8 under par.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't take it that way.
So you're not 8
think
under
about
par?
Every guy who plays golf.
Sure.
And it's probably the sport that is so technical that you have to play all the time to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And people get out there and go, yeah, I just really suck today. Well, you know, how many times you play? Well, it's the first time in 3 years. No, really? Really, think about it.
Well, the best players in the world play every day.
Thousands.
And then after they play, they go to the range and they hit more balls.
Thousands of balls. Yeah. And then they have a caddy and a coach. Drop your elbow, turn your hip.
Yeah, this does not sound relaxing to me.
And here's the other thing. That's how I got hurt, by the way. Is that if you know a golfer will get to the clubhouse 3 hours before his match.
Mm-hmm.
So they first go through stretching with, some pro. So they, yoga stuff, right? And then they go out and they start swinging like light clubs. So they take their irons and they build up until they get to their wood. And then they go to the putting green and then chip. And then 2 hours later, they're ready to play.
Right, that sounds exhausting right there, doesn't it?
What do we do? I go to the MacFund tournament. I get out of my car and I start swinging the first tee box as hard as I can.
And you're mad that you didn't shoot an 8 under.
And wonder why my back's hurting. Love it.
So what you're saying is take a little time, warm up, huh?
Yeah. Well, I used to try to warm up, and then I don't know if you remember a guy named Patrick Donnelly used to be the Hyatt general manager.
Okay.
So we play a lot of golf together. We get there, and I said, let's go hit balls. And in his accent, I did not come here to practice. I came here to play.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go play.
Yeah.
Swing as hard as you can. Swing as hard as you can. Don't you love tournaments with multiple mulligans, too? Here's another thing guys do, right? You go to a tournament and they sell mulligans, right? They raise money for
charity.
Couple,
yeah.
So it's great. So, you buy 6 or 7, right? But come the 12th, 13th, 14th hole, after people have had many cocktails, you got multiple mulligans. Like, as many as you want. Hey, we got any left, Bob? Oh, yeah, we got 8 left. Yeah, no problem. And then
so
they announce
it's more
the winner,
fun, right?
Yeah, because -22 is the winner. Oh yeah, great! Seriously, right?
Right?
Right? Look,
it's the biggest liar's ball ever.
Oh my God!
That's what they are.
They look around, hey Bob, no one will know. Come take another one.
Well, you've made your living in sports as a professional, so it must be kind of weird to dip into the
Mulligan
world of
back?
amateur golf and outings where you can buy strokes and stuff, because you can't do that in professional sports and professional soccer.
No.
You can't buy a goal when you
God, what I
we're down one.
Yeah.
Purchase Mulligan. A goal, please.
Oh my God, I just had like deja. I could have used that 500 times.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
How many more wins would you have? 500.
A lot.
Yeah, 500 more. So you back out doing the speaking thing again now?
Yes.
Did you ever stop doing that, or did you just stop talking about it?
I kind of pulled back a little bit because I was busy with so many other things. I love doing corporate events. I love going out and speak. You can say motivational. You can say inspirational. I love to teach tools. Yesterday, I was proud to talk at Todd Shields' Exciting Events Company out in New Berlin. You know, they have events all over the country now internationally. 2 weekends before, I did the Wisconsin State Department of Parole and Corrections, the 350 agents. That was really cool. So I love going out and do organizations, small companies. I've done 6 or 7 for Northwestern Mutual and Ryder Truck and Mercury Marine. And
how do I get a hold of you if I want to sign you up for my inspirational speech or my motivational speech?
You can call me at 414-368-3485 or email me at info@wisconsinsportsgroup.com.
So is there a lunch that you're going to need with this too? Or do we need to order an extra lunch?
A lunch?
You know, so you can eat as well at these get-togethers.
Yeah, I do all kinds of get-togethers. But I don't like to do the speech at the end of a convention.
Oh.
No, everyone just wants to get out of there.
Oh, my God. There's so many people that are hungover, and mm-hmm. their bags are packed, mm-hmm. and they've heard enough stuff. I mean, I've done them.
Do you want to do it on day one?
Day one's awesome, right?
Day one is awesome?
Yeah, because...
Where everyone is...
Well, let's say it's a company that's having a convention from all their different groups from around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bob, I haven't seen you in a year. You know, how's the family? How's your golf? Hey, you know, Bob, Brian, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And so you're excited to be there, right?
Are
so,
people more preoccupied with, I don't know, what room they're in and all that stuff?
No. Everybody's excited to get their meal. And
ready to get the message.
They want to hear something. And you know, motivation, as I tell people, is like cotton candy. You lick your fingers, tastes great, and you forget about it. You know, and life brings different scenarios. So I like to teach tools as you inspire and motivate people, you know, how to communicate, how to listen, you know, how to help each other in a team. Because my job as a coach with the Wave or in the other teams I've had is no different than an owner or a manager at a company, right? You got a product, you got a service, you get a team, you got to make adjustments, you got to, you know, do all the different things to keep them on track. So good. I love it, actually, as you can tell.
Yeah, well, you seem charged up about it.
I would hire you.
There's no...
I would hire you. Yeah. What's the number again?
414-368-3485. info@wisconsinsportsgroup.com. So you got to
check. I noticed you looked at two different cards for the number, though, so maybe you don't talk about organization very much.
That is really good, by the way.
Thank you.
That would fall into the category of sweat the details.
Yeah.
Yeah. That all
which
great
you
play,
cover.
Which I cover. I love sweating the details. The little things that turn good to great. Actually, these guys yesterday at exciting events, I pulled in their parking lot. It's all full with cars. I turn around to find a spot, and I see that a spot between a truck and a car. And as I turn to pull in, they had a parking sign and had my name on it. That's sweating the details.
Now you happened to turn into the spot that was reserved for
you
anyway?
It was the only spot open.
Wow. That's
pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
How important is that? How good do you feel about that? Like you're a VIP.
Yeah, and that was awesome. It actually had VIP on the sign.
Expect nothing less.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk.
Let's talk
a little World Cup because it kicks off today. It's 4 weeks long. It's going to take 4 weeks to play.
Big match, Russia, Saudi Arabia.
That's today.
Right out of the chute, we have a big match. See, you're going to have to break this down into remedial World Cup because I really don't know.
Quickly, who are the top five teams?
The host country always plays the first match.
Okay. Russia.
Okay, so and Saudi Arabia is ranked 32nd. So it could go either way, an easy win or a shocker with Putin sitting there. Mm-hmm. That ain't going to be too good.
Okay.
You know.
So who should win this game? Russia?
Russia should win this game.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it will shock everybody.
So is this single elimination, lose, you go home?
No. Okay. You have groups of four.
Okay.
So four teams in each group, and you play each team one time. Top two teams in each group then go through.
Okay.
So you have eight groups, A through G.
Okay.
And then the World Cup that's coming to North America in 2026, it's going to be the largest field. It's going to go from 32 countries to 48 countries, which is great.
The North American World Cup will host 48 countries.
Yeah, Mexico, as you talked about, Mexico. United States, and
Canada
are the host countries. We already got the stadiums built. We got the infrastructure. There's 1,500 academy training grounds that they can use. We already have 1 million hotels between the three countries that they can use. They're talking about netting $14 billion. And that money then would be spread amongst the MAs, which is the member associations across the world. Because what happened with the FIFA money scandal, a lot of things started changing with FIFA. This vote that just happened so that we could get the World Cup was done by all the members. Normally, it was done just by a board within FIFA. So they've kind of really opened up the drawer and let more people be involved in it. I think it's awesome in that we have the World Cup coming.
Okay, so the World Cup now is in Russia, going to be better when it gets here in 2024, correct?
I think it's going to be fantastic, yep.
Did you see the stadium in Russia with the...
Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't you love to sit up there?
No.
After, with the after a bottle of Russian vodka?
Oh, my God, no.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Bobby. How you doing?
Are you going?
Don't lean back.
Are you going to the World Cup at all?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Let's talk about the opening match. You got Russia, you got Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, Russia goes.
Russia should win this,
yes,
right? All right. So Saudi Arabia, they lose.
Yeah.
So who are the elite teams then?
To me, I think you have to look at Germany first. Right?
Okay.
Germany won the last World Cup. We always talked here when I came here that, especially after we won a championship with the Wave, how do you win another one? Well, one of the many ingredients is you got to get different players. You just can't have the same group. You know, because then you don't have that extra wood in the fireplace at the end.
So yeah, but Germany, you want all different guys either.
Not all different
guys. The guys just won you a championship.
Exactly. So you need to be smart. I mean, look what Golden State did, right? They added one guy and look where they're at. So Germany, half their team is new. A bunch of young guys.
Half? Mm-hmm. Is that? That sounds like a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah, 10 players.
But they won the championship how long ago?
They're great. Now, you know, German football is some of the best football in the world.
Yeah.
The big thing about Germany is the majority of their players play in their own country in the Bundesliga. If you look at Brazil, majority of their players play around the world. So when the national team coach wants to have a training camp, all these players have to fly in from all over the world to come. So it's a daunting thing. It's very expensive. It's logistically difficult. But in Germany, if the majority of the players play within Germany, in order for the national team coach to come and have a training camp, they're right there.
They can rally the troops in a day.
Plus, you have five or six players playing on the same team. So in Brazil, hardly any of the players play together around the world. So you got to look at Germany.
Brazil is top five.
Got to look at Brazil the second. Okay. Obviously, Neymar being one of the top players in the world. The great football nation. The great counterattack team. Great possession team. I think definitely Brazil is going to be. Let me get my list.
Looking on those notes again.
Spain,
there. Looking all over the place.
Okay. Spain, France. I would put up next, but then Argentina.
France, and Argentina.
So let's skip to the fifth of Argentina. Messi, who's been taunted as one of the top, if not the top player in the world, depending who you talk to.
Okay.
He's got this thing on his back that he hasn't won a world championship. Okay. Is this something that is going to really stamp him as the best player in the world? So, I mean, how tough is that? I mean, in basketball, court smaller, you got Stephen Curry, you got some other guys, maybe a little bit easier to win and a little bit more change of the game with one player. You need all 11. But Messi's the guy that can really turn around. So, you know, there's the trump card. So we're going to see how well Argentina does. It's similar to Neymar in Brazil. Then you got to go to Portugal. You got Ronaldo. He needs the same thing. He'd like to win a World Cup. Then you go to teams like Belgium. Young team, sixth in the world, very good team. I think if they get through the first round, which I think they will, they could become a Cinderella team. Because everybody's looking at Germany, Brazil.
Are you a Cinderella if you're sixth?
Well, you are if you have five or six bigger nations in front of you.
Okay.
I don't think anybody is really saying Belgium is going to be able to win it. However, I think if they can make a good run at it, then, you know, sports, it's that terrain. So you got other teams like, you know, Croatia, Uruguay.
Do little countries like Croatia and Uruguay, I mean, do they really stand a chance when they get up into the areas of Germany and France?
I think luck plays a big part of it. I think injuries. You know, you remember, this is a tournament of 30 days. I mean, the staff goes over to a country, and for 30 days, if you go all the way to the end, it gets a little long. We went to China. We went to Brazil for Futsal World Cup, and you're in a hotel for 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks. So, you know, you get bored, injuries. You're in the same with the same guy, and you've been doing it for two or three years to get there, so it's pretty tough, actually.
What happened to the U.S.?
Yeah, how did we not make it?
I don't want to really talk about the coaching or what happened with the player selections or the player themselves. I mean, that's something that it's all on them, and I want to look forward. I think it's a blessing in disguise. I know how painful it was. It was painful for me.
I was going to say, how can that be a good thing that we're not on the world stage playing the best teams in the world?
I'll tell you why.
All right.
Because if we did get to the World Cup, I still think if we would have got out of group play, the first group, we would have been lucky, I think, depending on where we would have been grouped in. Okay. You know, they say if you're in a group with tough teams, it's the group of death. If we got into an easier group and we were able to get to the second round, then would we be able to continue on? I don't know. I think we would maybe struggle to get out of the first round. This is only my opinion. Then if we didn't struggle, people would have been happy, right? Hey, we made the World Cup and everything would have been status quo. I think what happened when we didn't qualify, I think U.S. soccer and everybody involved in the game had to take a step back and say, we got to do something different. So what happened? We got a new president. So all of a sudden the president stepped down of U.S. soccer. There was a big election. So Carlos became the new president. I think that was big. A new coach came. Okay. Do I think that one individual coach is going to be able to make us qualify for the World Cup? No. So, but we get a new coach. A new group of young players now have been identified. We just went and played with France with them. And obviously France didn't play all their top players the week before the World Cup starts, but it's given opportunity for other players. And then I can talk about new facilities being built in Kansas City and the National Training Center, all different things that are beginning to happen. I think it's going to set us up, hopefully to qualify for the next one, but then really get us ready for when we have the World Cup on our own soil.
Okay, well, that sounds like if things play out well,
correctly, right?
Yep.
We're better off.
I think so. I think everybody thought everything was going great with Klinsmann, and then, you know, something happened. Wow, we lost some games. Then we brought Bruce Arena, and we won some games, and then we lost the last game, and we didn't qualify. So it was like a high and low, and where are we? And they're two fantastic coaches. I mean, some people like them, some people don't. They are two fantastic coaches. But you guys know a coach is only as good as what?
The players, yes.
The players you have. Right. I mean, you can make great adjustments at special times of a game as a coach, and that's how you become great. And you can be a great motivator as a coach, and you can change things. But at the end of the day, you need the players.
Can you win a World Cup having fired your head coach the night before it starts?
You know, that is such an interesting thing. It could be a rallying cry because I don't know the relationship between the coaches and the players.
What country did that, by the way?
That was Spain.
Spain fired their head coach last night.
Yeah, and so he went to Real Madrid, which is like a dream job in the world. But I don't know the relationship that the coach has with the players. If there was a relationship that was not good, it could be a rallying cry. But what game is the most important after you change your coach?
The first one.
You know what happened with the Bucks? The coach won 7 games in a row. Yeah. You know, so if you lose your first game, it's like, especially your second and third, then it's like, oh, maybe it wasn't.
Well, he's just an interim guy then, right?
Exactly.
If you had one team that you could watch, if there's one team, you can only watch one team in this tournament, who would it be? Who's the most exciting team out there?
I love watching Brazil. I mean, everybody's watching Brazil. If I can quickly tell you the games that you should be watching.
Okay. These are the must-see games.
Must-see games coming up in the next couple of days. Portugal, Spain.
Okay, going to be a good game.
We're talking border war. We're talking people don't like each other. This is Yankee Red Sox. This is Cubs Brewers. That's Group B, June 15th, 1 p.m. on Fox, and that's Central Time. Argentina, Iceland. Iceland, a small nation. They qualified. Everybody's talking about their football program. Argentina, Messi, June 16th, 8 a.m. on Fox. That's Group D. June 17th, we got to root for Mexico. We're in the United States, not in.
You got to root for Mexico?
Yeah, you know, they're our border friends, and obviously we have. Okay. Germany, Mexico, Group F, June 17th, 10 a.m. on Fox Sport 1. And the last one, England. Hasn't done anything in a long period of time. However, still a great football nation. England, Belgium.
They haven't won it since 1966. They want to know how can they go that long as a soccer-crazy nation and not have
World Cup. The year I was born, I remember it well. Yep. June 28th.
We're not born in 66.
Go with it, guys.
What?
Just go with it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sure. You're born. Okay. Right.
England, Belgium, Group G, June 28th, 1 p.m. on Fox.
All right. Keith, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure,
we're going to catch up next week again?
Yes, I will be calling in from Northern California.
We'll reset on this and see where we are.
You got it.
There will be some story out there to talk about.
Wait a minute.
Yes, go ahead.
Who are you picking?
I'm going with Germany.
Well, let's see. It's too easy to pick Germany or Brazil. Let's go with, I'll go with Belgium. I'll take Belgium.
All right.
Kind of like that.
Who do you have? Who do you have? You're the expert.
I'll tell you next time.
Okay. All right. Next time.
All right.
Keith, always good to see you.
Let me watch a few games.
Thanks, Keith.
Talk to you next week. Keith Tozer.